You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 19th day of October 2020, guess what we're going to be talking about? No, seriously, guess. Well, I wanted a good game seven. I got two of them. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on all the podcast platforms that you can find. And when you're staying at home during these trying times, well, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen and, yeah, Locked On Braves with friend of the podcast, Dylan Short. Dylan, I'm feeling for you. We're going to be talking about, you know what we're going to be talking about. We're also on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Holy cow. Well, I mean, a lot to unpack in that game seven finale in, well, I keep, you know, it was in Arlington. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I have been listening to the games instead of watching them because, first of all, baseball is in some ways best as a radio medium. But I also, it's weird that they're playing in Arlington. It was weird that the Rays were playing at in San Diego. And when I was listening to the game, I was listening to Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner call the Dodger game here in Pasadena in the glorious Locked On MLB studios overlooking the historic Rose Bowl. In my mind, it was Dodger Stadium. When Hernandez hit the game-tying home run and Bellinger launched the majestic home run into right field to give Los Angeles the lead for good, in my mind, that landed near where Kirk Gibson's home run landed. In my mind, it was all at Chavez Ravine, and the place was packed. And I didn't have a little reminder, didn't ask questions like, oh, no, why are there fans there? Why did 10,000 people show up? What are we doing? I didn't have to ask that. I just was enjoying the game. And along those lines, I just want to say, that I was very much against this season being played because of the health risks. And I still have issues that the games were played. I did not want to be the person who just was constantly being the Debbie Downer. I could only scream at the tide so much. And I must say, I stand by everything that I had said before, but man, oh man, based on everything that's been going on the last bunch of months, I'm just glad that there was some baseball to watch and have fun. I mean, I think these last few weeks would have been unbearable if I didn't have a ball game to listen to. And perhaps I enjoy listening to them so I'm not reminded that I can actually escape for a few hours and the celebration when the Rays won, in my mind, was at the Trop. And in my mind, it was in Chavez Ravine today. So there you go. We have a lot of hand-wringing was going on during the postseason. Were there too many teams? Why is there a sub-500 Astros team, a mediocre Toronto Blue Jays team, a Marlins team that may not have been really that good, a Brewers team that would have been sub-500, all these different things. Are there too many where the White Sox should have been placed here? Should the Yankees should have been placed there? Why was this seeded? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And what do we have in the World Series? The best team in the American League against the best team in the National League. And if you take a look at a lot of the prognostications at the beginning of the year, when we thought we were going to have a 162-game season, yeah, most people were picking L.A., and a lot of people were picking Tampa Bay. So we didn't get a full season, but these two teams, the Dodgers and the Rays, had to run through a gauntlet, and in the end, they made it to the eight. Now, let's just unpack the game here for a second, because there's a lot to break down. There's a lot to talk about. It's surreal that the Dodgers fell 3-1 after they massacred the Braves in game three in that 15-3 drubbing. They got just trounced in the Kershaw start on game four. And it was 10-2 that the Braves won that and took a 3-1 lead. Doesn't that seem like a month ago? That was 4 days ago. 4 days ago, the Braves clobbered Kershaw, blew the doors off the dump, and looked like they were going to just stampede into the World Series. 4 days later, here we are. And man, this game that we had today was in two of those games, May got the start. The Dodgers had a great comeback. May got two starts for a combined 3 innings. Dustin May's final line was 1 inning pitched, 1 hit, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. And it was actually a lot worse than that. That he started the game walking 2 batters each on four pitches. I mean, it was, he threw 8 balls, and then Marcell Ozuna singled home a run. And it looked like, oh my God, the Braves are going to blow it out. And the next inning included the home run by Dansby Swanson. Now, if you had told me that the first 8 pitches would be balls, then the next first strike would be an RBI single, and then another home run in the second inning. If you told me that that was the start, then you would assume the Braves were up 3-0, 4-0. They were only up 2-0. And that's actually going to be a theme when we look back at the autopsy of not just this game, but what happened? How did the Braves go from looking invincible to what we have here? And it's so many blown opportunities. The double play in the first inning. In the fourth inning, after the Dodgers tied the game on the Will Smith single, boy, Will Smith keeps popping up in these turning points of the series. You had 2 walks and a single. Another inning started with the first 3 got on base, and then the wild pitch, and then there was the play. The play that when people think about this series, they probably won't mention this, but the base-running idiocy of Swanson being thrown out at home, and then Riley, for reasons that will never be known, in the rundown got caught at third for the double play. They had runners on first and second. They had brought in the third pitcher, Blake Treinen, and Markakis was up, and the Braves were on the verge of the knockout punch. They were rallying. They took the Dodgers, fought back to tie the game, and the Braves said, no, 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 no. This is our series. Immediately took it back. We're putting together a big rally, and then they ran themselves out of it. And the runner was thrown out at third on that bizarre double play. Now, as it stands, the Dodgers couldn't take immediate advantage of it. But then there were other little things. Of course, there's the Mookie Betts making the spectacular catch. And the Braves could not cash in. They had 3 innings that should have been massive rallies, that they put crooked numbers up on the board, and instead they settled for 1 run each time. And of course, Mookie Betts making the catch. And then it was an 8-pitch at bat. Pinch hitter, Kike Hernandez coming in for Jock Peterson. Palo Alto's own Jock Peterson gets pinch hit. Foul ball off of Minter. Foul ball off of Minter. Foul ball off of Minter. Boom. Home run. And then came Peterson's massive home run to right field off of Chris Martin. And then after that, they just could not. It, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Julio Urias pitched the last three innings. No tyranny of the save. You'll note that, right? You'll note that there was no tyranny of the save in that, well, you got to have the closer come in or you can't have someone throw the three innings. Urias was getting ahead of batters and he was pitching great. Why take him out? And notice the two things that Dave Roberts in the past may have done. He may have said, hey, let's give Clayton Kershaw his day in the sun. We all thought something like that was going to happen, right? Or, hey, Kenley Jansen's our closer. We got to bring him in. No, he said, Urias is pitching great. Let him go. Let him keep pitching. It's similar to what happened when Charlie Morton finished up the 2017 World Series. And why are we going to take him out? He's pitching great. Go. Go for it. Go. Close it out. And that's exactly what happened. They kept Clayton Kershaw under wraps. They figured out if he keeps blowing big October games, then let's not put him in the game. And Kenley Jansen, who did a fine job the last couple of games, like, let's not push it. And here we are. And we have this interesting matchup between Tampa Bay and Los Angeles. And, you know, the biggest payroll versus one of the smallest payrolls, all these different storylines and everything. And we do have the championship rubber match, which is the Lightning won the Stanley Cup a few weeks ago. The Lakers won the NBA title a few weeks ago. And now we have Tampa versus LA. One of those fan bases are going to get another party. Now, I am being very selfish in that I am in Los Angeles County. Just the other day, I was in the hardware store, saw two people with Dodgers gear on. I talked to them, and everyone's talking Dodgers. It's a lot of fun seeing the Dodgers when you're here. It's a local team. And Dodger fans are diehard Dodger fans. They have one of the best attendance in baseball. Now, attendance is not always the best metric for passionate fandom, but these Dodger fans have been dying to see another title. And they feel just that they had it stolen from them a couple of years ago. And there is something karmically wonderful about, all right, let's fix what's these players deserve a ring. And then you have Tampa Bay. And you can make a very strong argument that if the Rays win the World Series, it could save that franchise. It could be the thing that gets them the interest and the windfall to build a new park. It could be exactly what did not happen to the Montreal Expos in 1994 when they put together the greatest Expo team of all time and had the rug pulled out from underneath them because of the players' strike and any momentum towards building that new ballpark that would have probably kept the Expos in Montreal was gone. You know, the opposite could happen to the Rays. And before anybody talks about, well, they don't deserve a team, it could never work there, it's a disaster, it's a catastrophe, keep in mind, one of the most successful franchises in baseball over the last bunch of years, one of the biggest money makers, biggest attendance, biggest popularity, all that stuff, model franchise in one of the greatest ballparks ever, I think the best ballpark ever, is San Francisco, the Giants. And twice, count them, twice, The Giants almost left San Francisco. They almost left after the 1976 season to Toronto, and they almost left after the 1992 season to go to, wait for it, Tampa Bay. And why? Because everybody knew their stadium was awful. And believe me, it was. I was in my high school years were in the San Francisco Bay Area. I went to a bunch of games at the Stick. Anyone who waxes poetically about the Stick, it sucked, okay? And it was the wrong place. It was the wrong location. Everything was wrong about Candlestick Park. They found the right park, and the franchise, which everyone assumed was gone, could never succeed, succeeded beyond people's wildest imaginations. And here we go. It could potentially happen with the Tampa Bay Rays, especially if that region coming off of the Stanley Cup can have a winner with the World Series. A World Series victory for the Rays could save the Rays. Oh man, there's still some more we got to unpack here, but I'm running out of energy. I need to give myself a little boost. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to grab myself a Built Bar, because Built Bars are new, they're improved, they're even deliciouser. That's right, deliciouser. That's a correct term. They've got 6 new flavors. They got Cherry Barcia. They got Caramel Brownie, Cookies and Cream, Carrot Cake, Lemon Almond Cheesecake, Apple Almond Crisp, to go along with their 12 original flavors, including your pal Sully's favorite one, which is, say it with me, Chocolate Raspberry. The bars are covered in chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. And the bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. It's great for the keto diet. Let's take the coconut almond. Oh man, I love coconut. I love almond. I love chocolate. Guess what? Only 180 calories. You've got 18 grams of protein. You got 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carb. You get free cooler with purchase while supplies last. So go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. Before we wrap up today's show, we have to give a little eulogy to the Atlanta Braves. Unbelievable. You know, through game 4 of the NLCS, the Braves looked borderline invincible. And they shut out the Reds those 2 games. They swept the Marlins. And they faced the Dodger team, which I thought was going to run the table, and took a 3-1 lead on them. And I just, after the blowout of 10-2, you're like, you know, how are they going to lose? I mean, they can't. And all of a sudden, they had a lead in game 5 when the Will Smith home run turned things around. And then we saw what happened today. And in game 6, of which the Dodgers took a 3-1 lead early, but the Braves held on. And it just needed one big rally to push them over the top. And instead, when people write about the teams that have blown 3-to-none lead, they have now entered that conversation. And it sort of hit me that the Braves are putting together a really, really impressive, what's the best way to say it, torture reel for their fan base. As someone who grew up a big Boston Red Sox fan, every time the Red Sox got close to anything, they brought out the torture reel. Here's a clip of Babe Ruth. Here's the clip of Johnny Pesky holding onto the ball. Luis Aparicio falling down, losing game 7 of the World Series to the Reds. The Bucky Dent home run, the Bill Buckner era, the Aaron Boone home run. They just would play all the stuff over and over and over and over again. Here we go again. Well, it's been 25 years, quarter of a century has passed since the Atlanta Braves won the World Series in 1995. And when you have suffering for a team, when you have that torture reel, it's everything that happens after that last title. When you win a title, It wipes out all the pain before that. So when the Braves won in 1995, it erased the frustration of the 91 and 92 World Series, the 93 playoffs, the 82 playoffs. All of those frustrations were gone. Boom, fresh start. So after that, you have some big time moments of frustration. And when it builds up over time, they compound. Just ask Cleveland fans. They compound. So still on the table is the Jim Leyritz home run, is the strike zone that Eric Gregg had when Levon Hernandez was pitching. You still have the Chad Curtis home run in the 1999 World Series. You had losing game five of the division series. Was it three straight years? Yeah, three straight years they lost game five of the division series. And then you had losing an 18-inning finale with Chris Burke, of all people, hitting a walk-off home run. And then you had the collapse of 2011. You had all those errors that they made against the Giants in 2010, losing the wild card game in 2012. You had not using Craig Kimbrell and letting Juan Uribe hit that home run. You had a 2-1 lead on St. Louis, and you lose an extra inning game and then are down 10-0 before you even come to bat in the division series last year. And then this year you blow a 3-1 lead. That is some serious suffering that's going on there. Some serious bad mojo is going on there. And I'm not going to go talk about all Atlanta sports. I don't know enough about the other sports to talk about that. I do know the Falcons lost that Super Bowl to the Patriots a few years ago in overtime. I can't get into all that. I will say this, though. Not trying to open up any can of worms here. I'm just going to say this. The baseball team in Atlanta have that name. The baseball team in Cleveland have that name. Hell, the football team in Washington had a troublesome name. And that franchise name that all three of them had have not exactly been good luck charms, have they? Clinging on to those names, the culturally insensitive names, I don't care about that. Well, do you care about winning? Because you're not doing much of it with these names. And something hit me. The only time that the Braves have won a title since coming to Atlanta, despite having all these great teams, all these Hall of Famers, all these MVPs, and everyone who's played for them over the years, the only time they've been able to win is when they played the other team with the troublesome name, the Indians. And when was the last time the Indians won the World Series? That was 1948. Do you know what team they beat? They beat the Braves. So the only time that these two franchises can win the World Series is if they play each other. And that's kind of hard to bank on. I'm not saying it is the reason. I am saying it's not really working as a good luck charm. Maybe changing some of the mojo, or else do you want to keep building up? Do you want to keep building up that reel? Because let me tell you something, it compounds. And you're going to see Atlanta fans have that sort of slumped shoulder look that I remember from all those years being a Red Sox fan. Right? That's not there anymore. Red Sox fans have evolved into a different animal. Okay, but Atlanta fans are becoming that, oh, woe is me. And the interesting thing is, there is that connection to the Red Sox, not just the fact that the Braves began in Boston. And by the way, for a while, the team, when they were in Boston, called themselves the Boston Bees. If they kept that name, there'd be no controversy, but I digress. The other thing is that, like the Red Sox, The Braves are a team with great regional reach, not just because they had the TBS connection for all those years. A lot of people who didn't have a team grew up watching friend of the podcast, Dale Murphy and Greg Maddux and Tommy Glavine and all of them. But it's the team of the South. So you have, if you're in Georgia, but you're also in Alabama, or if you're in South Carolina, or if you're in Tennessee, or if you're in Mississippi, and if you're a baseball fan, it's understood that your team is Atlanta. It has that kind of regional, the concentric circles that reach out, go all throughout the South in a similar way that the Red Sox have with New England. It's not just a Massachusetts team. It's Rhode Island. It's Northern Connecticut. Southern Connecticut is suburbs of New York. Just believe me, my entire family is from Bridgeport. And, you know, Vermont, Maine, even parts of upstate New York kind of hugging the line. That's the ripple effects of the Red Sox, similar to Atlanta. And for all those years where Red Sox fandom meant pain and suffering, that was felt from New Haven, Connecticut to Bangor, Maine. Well, now it's being felt from Jacksonville, Florida, all the way up to New Bern, North Carolina, and all the way over to Biloxi, Mississippi, with it emanating from the middle of Georgia. So you're compounding, you're making an entire region suffer, and you've been doing it now for, say it with me, a quarter of a century. Time flies. Do you know how I know time flies? Because the Braves winning the World Series doesn't seem that long ago. I was out of college when that happened. I realized, how the heck old am I? I know how old I am. I'm a day older, and we're going to see a World Series starting this week. So we have Los Angeles, we have Tampa Bay, the two best teams, the best team in the American League is play the best team in the National League. It should be fun. And I am going to listen to them because that's where I have the most fun. And hopefully you're having fun listening to me. So go to the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. Go to all the places where you get your podcasts. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, go to LockedOnMLBPod. I'm on Twitter. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Breaking down the finale of the National League Championship Series and giving a little bit of advice to the good folks of Atlanta. This is Locked On MLB for the 19th day of October 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.